Enthusiasm. I like that.
Loud.
I'm loud. You know, I prayed about this text I'm going to preach on this morning, and I really didn't want to preach out of it because it seemed like, I know I've used the text probably within the year, and maybe within 6 months I've probably used it, but I couldn't get it off my mind. I woke up the other day, Brian said he had an episode where he couldn't sleep the other night. Last week he talked about that, and I said, told the men about it, and I woke up the other night, Thursday night, I believe it was, at 3:40-something in the morning. Good grief, man. Woke up, you know, got to be time to get up, right? Roll over and look at the clock, and it's not. And I'm thinking, man, all I could get on my mind, I started thinking about this text, and I went over and over in my head. I said, all right, Lord, you know, I'm going to preach out of it because I don't have anything else. And but, you know, there's so many lessons as I got to thinking about it. I'll probably never get them all out this morning. But in John chapter 11, verse 39... And this is dealing with the death of Lazarus, and there's a long story leading up to it with Martha and her sister Mary, you know, calling for Jesus, and you know, he died, and dealing with her faith and things like that. And then in verse 39 it said, "And Jesus saith unto Jesus saith, Take away the stone, Martha. And the sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Heavenly Father, we have come to you again this morning in prayer, and Lord, it's our prayer today that you meet with us here as we're gathered together, most of us here saved as your people, Lord, and we're gathered and looking to hear from you. Lord, we know that nothing will be accomplished without you today, and we're praying for your presence, an experience, Lord, of your presence. You speak to our hearts, Lord, as we prepare, seek, look for a revival meeting, Lord. And Lord, we can start today. We know we don't have to wait for a designated time. Lord, we know it's not coming through certain men, Lord, that you've called to preach, Lord, but that it's come from you. We're asking you for that today. Speak to our hearts, as I said, Lord, and we know that we could draw closer to you. Lord, wake us up out of our sleep, out of our deadness. Lord, call us forth as well into your presence, and we'll put this into your hands this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Of course, as I said, you know, we know it's a familiar text for a lot of us. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. I want you to understand this, that he was somebody that loved the Lord, somebody that the Lord had spent time at his house, at his family's house, at his with him and his sisters. And so it wasn't just anybody that had become sick, and his sisters were concerned, and Jesus was a ways off, and they sent for Jesus, and they said, you know, try to come, you know, Lazarus is sick. And he heard about it, and you know, he laid back a little bit. He spent about 4 days before he got there, and of course Lazarus died, and then of course they buried him. They put him in the tomb, and we got to that part of the text this morning we read, and where Jesus comes down to the tomb and he wants to deal with this situation right here. Now, I know this is an actual story and it's a physical picture, but I know also it's a spiritual picture that we want to look at today. The other day I was down at the hospital, and of course Mary Patzel, I mentioned her, boy, one of the charter members, one of the old saints of God from this church right here, obviously been here my whole time that I've been here, my whole time that I've been a pastor, and boy, Mary's been great, supported me as a pastor, and she loves the Lord, and she told me, she said, look, I'm ready to go, and went down to the hospital the other day, spent some time with her, sat there in the chair and with her, and just we had a talk. One of her sisters was there, and two of her daughters, and were sitting around talking and just, you know, having a pretty good time. I started sharing with them about the revival down at Burlington and, man, how that God was really on that that meeting. And her sister said something to me, Sister Petey. I know her well. I've known her for years. And she said, you know, she was looking me right in the eye. She said, you know what? She said, that's something we don't see today. We don't see God showing up at the church services, the Holy Spirit of God showing up at the church services like that, what we were talking about, that meeting like that. And I got to thinking about that. I was starting to wonder about it. I stood outside yesterday evening, and I was looking up there in the woods. Man, it was a little cool. It was a beautiful day. I was looking up there, and I thought, you know, that word, that kept ringing in my mind of what she said, that that the Holy Spirit of God doesn't show up at the services. And I thought, man, that's not, it's true, but it's not right. You know, I said, this is something that this should be every service that we have. The Holy Spirit of God ought to be here. And so I started thinking about that. I said, what's the problem? What's the problem? If the Holy Spirit of God doesn't show up, and you know what I'm talking about, if you've been in a meeting when the Holy Spirit of God shows up, I mean, man, it's not something that we're manufacturing, not something we're making up. We're not blowing smoke out of the stage down through there. Got a bunch of mirrors in here making it look like there's more people, and, you know, somebody telling you some weepy story to get it going. It's when God shows up, you know, and you know what's a real thing when it's not the real thing. And I told her, I said, I know. Unfortunately, I preached in a bunch of them services where it didn't feel like the Spirit of God was there. And so I thought about it, and I'd already knew I was going to preach on this text right here. And so I looked at it a little bit closer, and I noticed something right here. Did you ever notice that Jesus didn't go in the tomb? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. He said, Lazarus, you come out of that tomb. And I got to thinking about that while I was sitting there and we were singing How Great Is Our God. Boy, if you can't get ready to worship God with that song, I don't know what you're going to do. But How Great Is Our God, I was thinking about it. And we were looking in our Sunday school class at Peter, man, on that resurrection morning. Easter's coming up. You'll hear about it again. But old Peter, he goes running down there to the tomb because he wanted to look in there. And I want you to know, Peter went in the tomb. Now, Jesus comes to Lazarus. He didn't go in the tomb. Peter ran in the tomb, and guess what he found? Nothing. I mean, as far as Jesus goes, he didn't find Jesus in a tomb. And I got to thinking, here's the answer right here. Jesus don't hang out in tombs. He's not hanging out in the tomb, brother. And he's not going in the tomb. He said this is what he wanted. If you want to get with Jesus, you got to come out. Huh? You got to come out of the tomb, buddy. You got to come out of the grave, and you got to get those grave clothes off if you're going to have a meeting with Jesus. Peter couldn't find him in a tomb, and Jesus wasn't going in a tomb in Lazarus' case. He said, come out. He said, you come out and meet with me if that's what you're going to do. And that's the key right there. That's the key right there. We got to get out of the spiritual tomb that we're living in as Christians, trying to live in, and we're wearing grave clothes, and that has to do with anything that has to do with this world. We're trying to wear all that stuff that goes along with this world and expecting that Jesus Christ is going to meet with us, and it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So I got a couple things to look at. You know, the very first point that I want you to see this morning is that those that love the Lord die. And I got this little subtitle under there, Death Stinks. That's what she said. Don't take that cover off that grave because it's going to, by now, he's going to stink. Death does stink, doesn't it? It just stinks, man. I mean, when people die, I was thinking about that, man, the old saints. That's one thing about being a pastor, and you preached and preached at services all over and over the years. And I think about the old saints that we've had that's been in here that we had to preach their funerals for. Here's Mary. They said about 3 weeks maybe she'll live. It's in God's hands. I'm not doubting God, whatever. But if things go the way they're going, that's about it. What she's got, that's all right. She's ready to go. It's not going to be a sad day. We'll be for family, but it's not going to be a sad day for her. She's all ready to go and excited about it. But it's kind of sad for us, man, that we have to have those kind of things in life. But I want you to think about this. Listen, everybody dies. This guy was a friend of Jesus. This guy loved the Lord. And he died. And I know Jesus called him out of the grave, and there's a lot of spiritual pictures, the rapture and this and that. But later on, Lazarus died again. But everybody dies who loves the Lord. But you ever notice this? People are living their life like God is not coming back, or like they're going to live forever. People are living their life, and I'm talking about the Christian folk, living day in, day out like they're just going to live forever. I ask people this a lot of times. I say, well, how many of you think the Lord's coming back? And everybody raise their hand. How many of you think he's coming back today? Nobody wants to raise their hand. As a matter of fact, they're kind of worried that he might come back today when you get right down to it. And so, you know, we got to think about this, not living like there's no death, not living like there's no judgment, not living like that we're not going to be held accountable unto God. That's, we got to keep that in our head. Oh, preacher man, that's negative preaching. No, it's not negative preaching. It's positive preaching, because the truth is always a positive thing. If you're going to step on a rattlesnake and I say, look out, don't step on it, is that negative or positive? I mean, that's a positive thing. We got to understand this, that this is a positive thing. We don't like to think about death. See, we don't want to, this is the way we are. And I understand there's another picture, but Lazarus in the grave, and they put a stone over the thing because they don't want to see that. They don't want to see all that death. They don't want to see that corruption. We put the cemetery way out of town because we don't want to have to look at it. Somebody dies, they got them stretched out in the casket. Some people don't like to go up there and look at the body because why? They don't want to think about death. We don't want to think about it. And I think there'd be something wrong with you if you thought about it all the time, but it wouldn't hurt to think about it sometime. And so we think about living like there's no judgment, living like there's no death. Don't think about death. We don't want to talk about that. Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says that it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. And so we know that there's a death and that there's a judgment. You know, we also have to think about that. Revelation 22:11-15, there's a picture there of the great white throne judgment. All the lost people are going to stand at the great white throne judgment. They're going to be there, and there won't be a lot of arguing with God. There won't be a lot of excuses. You won't be able to say, but. Matter of fact, you won't be able to say anything, that there's a great white throne judgment, and everybody at that judgment, it's not going to be to sort out the good and the bad and look at the, it's just going to be to have your pronunciation of your sentence, and that's eternal damnation in a lake of fire. I mean, that sounds like, boy, that sounds pretty negative to me. If you're not saved, it's pretty negative. It isn't. Negative thing, but there's a way to get around all that. You don't have to face that, but we still need to know about it. It's in the Bible, for crying out loud, right? It's in the Word of God. It's there. Am I not to preach that? Because it's, you know, it doesn't sound real positive on the one hand. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about the works of the saints that's judged. And, you know, the wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, everything we didn't do for God, it's going to burn up. And we know about that. And all what you didn't do or what you did do for God. And then there's Romans 14:11-12. It said, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Everybody's going to have to give an account of himself to God. The saved people are going to give an account of the works that they did, everything that they didn't do for Jesus Christ when they were on his. It's going to burn up, man. Wood, hay, stubble, it's gone. And the only thing that's going to remain is what you do for God. So, man, while you're out there busting your hump to accomplish a lot of stuff in your own flesh and in your own power and in your own strength and building them houses and getting all them boats and cars and all that stuff piled up, it's all going to burn up one day if you don't do it for Jesus Christ. That's it, man. It's all going. It's out of here. It's out of here. It's gone. And then the lost will stand before their judgment too, not to figure out what's going to happen to them. God already knows what's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you another thing about that great white throne judgment, folks. It ain't going to be no laying out. There ain't going to be no opting out. There ain't going to be no, I don't feel like showing up. You know, preacher, I can't be at the great white throne judgment because I got to rest up because I got to go to work tomorrow. I'm not going to be at the great white, I'm not going to be at that judgment seat of Christ because I just got to go to the ball game. It's not going to be none of that going on, buddy. You're going to be there. Every knee shall bow. I told a girl that one time, and she got mad at me, but she wasn't safe. But I said, I'll tell you one thing. You're going to bow down one day. And this is when I was a brand new Christian. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know to be real nice to him. I just told him like it was. I said, you know, you're going to bow down whether you want to bow down or not. Oh, yeah, we'll see. I said, we will. We will see. You're going to be bowing down. You're going to be right down there like everybody else, man, bowing down. You can't stand before God. You can't stand before God. I said, man, it's a real thing. Amen. And it don't matter what you feel like or what's going to think, you know, death is coming. I ain't hearing, well, here comes the angel of death. I can't die today. Pete's sake, man, my kid's got a ball game down there at the ball field at 11 o'clock. I can't be down there today. I can't die now. I got to go to work in the morning. I can't die. Listen, it don't matter. You better worry more about what your relationship with God is than your relationship with your boss at work. I mean, for Pete's sake, man, or any other thing that's going on. We got in a conversation at the Bible camp yesterday. Every year it comes up about the dress code. What we're going to do about the dress code. Well, you know, and some of them was saying, well, we just throw in a towel, you know, because I said, look here, we're not going to let the world out there dictate how we're going to look, you know, as Christians. We're not going to let the world dictate that. I said, you know, we can have a standard. I mean, if they're lost, we'll help them. We'll teach them. We'll show them. I mean, crying out loud, you can't let everybody run around naked because they feel like it. I mean, Pete's sake, right? Amen? And Lord knows we don't want to see it for the most part. We don't want to see that either for the most part. And so listen, death is coming. And we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account. It didn't matter that Lord loved Lazarus. It didn't matter that Lazarus loved the Lord. I mean, I'm sure Lazarus was a pretty good fellow, but he got sick and he died. He died. You know, I understand that. So we see that the first point there, that those that love the Lord died. The second thing, this is, and this is really where I want to get. I mean, all that stuff, I know you understand all that, right? Everybody pretty sure about dying, right? I mean, every time, you know, there's some people in Buchanan, the only time you see them is at the funeral home down here, right? Every time you go and they're there. They're there. Every time, because we live in a small town. We understand it. But I want to get to the spiritual side of things a little bit more so than that. Those that limit God die. Those that limit God die. And I mean this in a spiritual way. We die spiritually. You know, Martha said in verse 21, she said to Jesus, Lord, you know, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Mary said it the same thing. She said, Lord, you know, if you'd only been here in verse 32, she said it. If you'd only been there, my brother had not have died. Now, there's two sides to this coin right here I see. And one of them is this. That they had a thought that if Jesus had only been there physically, see, they got a limited view of God. If Jesus had been there physically, he wouldn't die. Now, you can give him some credit because Jesus wasn't a doctor, right? But he is the great physician. But in the human sense, so they had a belief that, you know, Jesus, if you had been right here, my brother wouldn't have died. But their faith also was limited in this point right here that they're saying that Jesus had to be there physically in order to keep her brother from dying. In other words, he couldn't have spoke the word from where he was, and he could have. He could have said, Lazarus, you know, I don't know what he would have done. You know, you're not dying. Holler it out, but he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have died. Whatever he would have done, he wouldn't have died. He didn't have to be there in that physical sense to keep Lazarus from dying. And he could have just spoken the word, of course, and he would have lived. And when you think about this, how many of us live in doubt about what God can do? You know, no expectation about God doing anything. We got these impossible things out there that it might be a relationship problem. It might be some kind of a vice or some kind of sin that you can't get the victory over. And you think, man, I'm never going to be able to get the victory over this. And we just don't think God's going to do anything. We don't think God can do anything with our sorry spiritual lives that we have. But we don't ask God about those things. We limit God with that. And you know, we don't have faith. Listen. We only limit God by our unbelief. Amen. I got to thinking about this. Did Lazarus think that God was that Jesus was going to show up that day? I don't know what's going on when you're laying in a grave for 4 days in your... I know absent from the body present with the Lord, understand all that. And I don't know where, you know, man, you could be in a deep theological debate on where Lazarus' soul and spirit was and then how it was in heaven and then it came back and it got in the body and then he came out of the grave. You can go around and around with all that and I don't want to argue about all that and I don't even know for sure. But I want to say this to you. If Lazarus, just let's pretend, Lazarus is laying in the grave, dead or in a doornail, did he think that particular day that Jesus was going to show up and say, hey, Lazarus, come out of there. And he's going to come out? I don't think so. I don't think he thought that. And see, that's with us. See, what do we think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen today? Huh? Really? Did you really expect anything? Or are you just laying in that spiritual grave thinking that, you know, nothing's going to happen. It's going to go on just like another Sunday service? Or are you waiting to hear Jesus call and say, hey, come on out. Come on out of there. Come on out of that grave. Are you thinking about that? That's Jesus did. He showed up and that's what he did. But listen here. If Jesus had been here, and if Jesus is here, We wouldn't have died spiritually. Huh? You know, the whole idea, the whole concept of a revival meeting kind of bothers me. Why in the world we got to have it? Why do we need one? I don't call 911 unless something's going on real drastic at the house, and Lord, I hope I don't have to. Why do I got to hold a revival meeting, what we call a revival meeting? Because everybody's on life support. Huh? You got to get the old chest pumping. Maybe instead of buying a projector right there, we get a couple of them heart paddles, huh? And you zoom, wind them up when you come in the door. Zing, boom, okay, and boom, man, get everybody jacked up when you come in, huh? Boy, I bet you that gets your attention. You start hearing that thing wind up. Zing. You know how they sound when they wind them up? Why do we got to have a, but we get that way. That's where we are. And the problem is, so I'm thinking, all right, Jesus isn't here. And we notice he didn't go in the tomb. Is this a tomb? Well, yeah, I've been in some church services, huh? But I mean, you're not real sure. You know, I'm getting ready to check pulses to see if everybody's living and breathing. But you know what the real thing is? The real thing is, spiritually, we could need our pulse checked. We could need our pulse checked, and we could be spiritually dead. And so, if Jesus is here in our midst, by our side, and if we're walking to Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be needing be in a spiritual grave, and we wouldn't need a revival of any sorts. Now, don't sit here and think, well, you know, I was going to get revived today, but since the meeting don't start till next Sunday, we'll just wait till then. I mean, that's not what it's all about. You know, I'd like to have a meeting where when the guys got here, say, what in the world are you having a revival for? Huh? We're already in a revived state. Huh? I'd like to get to that point in our life, right? Amen. What kind of a grave are you laying in? You know, I believe God can do something. I know he can. Because this thought always pops in my mind. I'm still here. Huh? If God gets done with you, man, listen, he's probably just going to take you out if you say. If you're not saved and God's not done with you, if you lost, God's leaving you down here. That's grace. He's giving you another opportunity to get saved. Okay? And so I believe that God's, you know, if we're still here and God's still on the throne, and he is, huh? And God's desiring, listen, I believe that God is out there. I believe Jesus is out there right now saying, come forth. Come forth, come out of that grave. He's telling it. He's not coming in. Huh? He might be right outside that door right there. I'm about ready to run out there and see. And he might be saying, come out, come out. Come out, because he's not coming in the tomb. He didn't hang around in the tomb after he was buried in one, and he didn't hang around. He didn't go in Lazarus' tomb, and he could have. He could have, but he didn't go in that tomb. He said, Lazarus, you come out of that tomb. And you know, I wonder if Lazarus, did he have any doubts? You know, do you think when Lazarus, always thought, boy, I'd bet you I'd like to talk to him. I'd like to, after he come out of that grave, he'd been laying in there 4 days, and man, I bet you, boy, they took them grave clothes off. Man, you talking about a cut in his strut and a glide in his stride. Boy, had a gleam in his eye, man. He was all floating around. I'd like to go to him and say, Lazarus, tell me, what was he doing in 4 days? Tell me about it. I want to know, man. I bet you Lazarus had a testimony, man. Somebody come up to Lazarus and say, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe that Jesus is real. I don't believe that God's real. I bet you Lazarus would shut him up in a heartbeat. Let me tell you, brother. Huh? I bet you he had a testimony. That's the title of my message tonight, by the way. Give you a little advertising. Testimony. You got one? Anybody got a testimony? Cricket sounds, please. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we'll find out. We'll see. But I got a message about testimony. Might give you a little time to give a little testimony tonight, man. Get us in the mood, you know, for a revival. But, you know, listen, man, we got to believe that God can do something, man. Lazarus had a testimony. Don't aim small, man. Just expect God to do some things. And I want you to know something else here, folks. You think you die spiritually, it's not affecting anybody else. You're wrong. When Lazarus died, brother, his sisters wept. Matter of fact, Jesus even wept. His sisters wept. His sisters mourned. They were sorrowful. And I want to tell you something, boy. When you get in that spiritual grave, it affects your family. I'm going to tell you what. The dad's here. The husband's here, brother. When you're in that spiritual grave and you can't pray with your wife and you can't pray with your kids and you can't get a hold of God yourself, it will have an effect on your family. I'm going to tell you that right now. Amen. right there. Listen, man, there's some of you right here, right now. I'm going to tell you, your kids are lost. They haven't been in church in who knows when. They hadn't picked up a Bible in who knows when. And this altar, we give an altar call, and you won't get out of your chair and come down here and pray for your children. You lay out of the prayer meeting time. It's not a concern. Man, that's a scary thing right there when you're not concerned about your children dropping off into a Christless hell. It ain't no wonder Jesus won't come into a tomb like this. Man, there's nothing going on in a grave, folks. Nothing. There's nothing going on but rot and decay. That's all that's going on in there. Man, your kids are lost, buddy. If my kids was lost, I'd be down at the altar every day praying. And I'm going to tell you another thing. My kids are saved, but I still pray for them every day. I pray for my son. I pray for my son's wife. I pray for my grandkids. I pray for my son-in-law that's here, my daughter that's here, my grandkids that's here. I pray for them every single day. Listen, man, we got to get where we start thinking about the consequences of not so. Our family's affected. You get in a dead spiritual state. Listen, ladies, if your husband's lost, I'm going to tell you something. It affects him. It affects him negatively. Negatively. When Jesus Christ is not first in your life, I want to tell you something. They see through all that hypocrisy stuff. They see all through all the farce that you're setting up before them, that you're some kind of a spiritual person or a praying person or a godly person. They can see through it all. The lost can see it. So your deadness laying in the grave when you're saved, when you love the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. It does affect your family. It affects them in a bad way, in a bad way. And then the third thing right here, that those that listen to God, they live. Those who listen to God live. Look there in verse 43 and 44. It says, "And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Man, listen, dead, in the grave, bound with grave clothes. And I'm going to tell you what, this is the good news right here for us, folks. He heard that and he came forth. Man, I'm going to tell you what, that was the call of God, man. He heard it no matter what. I could think about this. I remember when I was just a young boy, I was a Methodist boy, man. You know, nothing. The old Methodists way back in the day, they preached it up, but it got pretty lame. I feel free to say that because I was one of them. And, you know, they played the music. It was more like a dirge. And I used to be an altar boy. Can you imagine? Used to get the altar boy. You stand back here in the back and they had a little candle thing. You got the little thing. It's a long little handle. Got a wick on it, a little bell thing on it. And then you would come down. Me and the other guy, we had robes on. We looked really good. And little did they know. And, you know, we go walking up there real slow. They had this little dirge playing along. And you went up there and you lit the candle. Wasn't that, woo, boy, didn't it just make you feel like shouting? Huh? Huh? Didn't that give you a shout? Huh? Right there is exciting, huh? You know, if you're in a tomb, you need a candle lit. I'm going to tell you that, brother, because it's dark in there. We went up there and they told me, I practiced. We was both supposed to turn to the right. Guess what happened? I forgot. I turned to the left. Luckily, I didn't do it till we were over, and our little bell or snuffers clanged together. It got clang. You know, it kind of broke up the dirt. I was a Methodist boy when I went up to my grandmother's, my step grandmother, and buddy. She took me to this meeting. It was a revival meeting, man. Chilhowee, Virginia, old church, no AC. Had the big church, big high ceiling, wood floors, windows. I'd never seen that. And I got to remember, I'm a Methodist, and I'd never seen nothing like this. And I was probably like 10, 11 years old, about like Damien's age right there. Man, she took me down. Her name was Stella, man. We went down there, and it was a hard shell Baptist. If you know anything about your denominational breakdown, hard shell Baptist. And, buddy, I mean, they was dressed up to the hilt, buddy, and that guy, he wasn't wearing no robe or nothing. And he got up there, and he started to preach, and I don't know nothing that he preached on. I do not. I mean, I was just a kid. But I tell you what, my eyes looked like saucers. I mean, man, they was big. He was getting with it, man. The old short sleeve message. My church used to say I had a short sleeve message is when I had my arm doing a lot of this and my sleeves was hanging out. He had a short sleeve message going on, man. And I mean, I was like there. And they had an altar call. I'd never seen an altar call in my whole life. I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't even know you was allowed to go down there. I mean, in the church I was at, we didn't go down there. And they had an altar call. And this guy, he was in his 90-some years old and he was blind. Boy, what an illustration. He was blind, had a lady on his grown granddaughter, and he had a stick with a white one and a red on it, and he was coming up to get saved. I said, man, thank God, what is this all about? And I'm going to tell you what it was all about. God was calling me. He was saying, my mama called me Danny, so I just assumed that's the way he would say it. He said, Danny, come out. Come on. See, I didn't know nothing, so I didn't come out. But I heard something. And then a few years later, when I was about 14, 15 years old, I went with my girlfriend as family. We all went down to the Lazy Bee Campground. Now, you can fill in the blank on your own what the B stands for. Probably be good to be Lazy Baptist Church. Maybe that would be good. It was called the Lazy Bee Campground down in North Carolina. We went down there, and on Sunday, this guy came, and they had a pavilion. They said, oh, we're having church. 14, 15-year-old kid, right? Man, I don't want to go to church. I just want to go out here and go fishing, man. My girlfriend, Let's go down to church. Okay. And I went on down there, and this guy, he was a Baptist preacher too, man, and he got up there, and he had a vest on, it was real hot, man, and he was going, and I remember looking, I thought, man, this is different than what I've heard. I liked it. God's saying, come out. But I tell you what, I didn't come out, and then years later after that, I was in the Navy. I was 21 years old. I was in Sicily, Sigonella, Sicily. I worked for the fire department. We worked 24 on, 24 off. I was 21 years old, got in bed at night, laid on my back, and it hit me. I mean, I always believed in God. I wasn't saved. But I said, it has been years since I prayed. I mean, the last prayer I ever prayed went something like, lay me down, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know that one? I don't know how the rest of it goes. I said it for you. But I'm 21. I'm away from my family. I'm away from home. I'm in Sicily for crying out loud. I mean, I'm out there. I'm laying up there and I started staring at the ceiling. It had a plaster ceiling. You ever look at the plaster and kind of make faces and stuff? You kind of look and you can see stuff in it. That's what I was doing in my bunk. 21, I'm sorry. And I said, God, man, I haven't prayed in years. So I didn't start out with the now. I thought about the now I lay me down thing. I said, man, that's lame. I started talking to God. I said, you know what? I didn't know theology. I said, God, I want to see your face. I said, God, I just want to see your face. And I didn't know no better. Years and days went by, and me and another guy named Kenneth Melton, we called him Chili, we went up to his house on Mount Etna, the largest active volcano in Europe. And we didn't do the usual things, the grave things. We didn't do the grave things. We stayed away from it for some reason. And we cooked a little dinner there, and I said, well, man, I'm going to spend the night. I'll just hitchhike to the base in the morning. Man, I laid there, and we started talking about things, and we started talking about God. And God, all of a sudden, and I forgot that I had said, God, hey, I want to see your face. I remember the room feeling so filled up with something. It was dark. I didn't want Chili to think I was losing my marbles. And it was real dark, so I kind of looked over there at him. And I couldn't see him. And I raised my hand up. Now I get it. You know why people raise their hand up? Because God's so close. I said, so I raised my hand because I felt like something was on my face. So I went like that to see. Man, I got up. I said, man, I got to go to the restroom. I mean, it felt like an hour went by. That's all. We just laid in bed and talked for an hour. And I went out down there and I went to the restroom. There's only one road down Mount Etna, one road. And I looked out there on the road and there was all these headlights going down the mountain. I said, Chili, man, something's happening. I said, Mount Etna might be erupting. I said, because there's cars. I said, what time is it? He called me D. Boone. He said, D. Boone, you ain't going to believe. This black fella. I ain't a prejudiced man. He's a black fella, friend of mine, real good. He's a Chili. D. Boone, you ain't going to believe it. I said, what? He said, it's after 6 in the morning. I said, you're kidding. It seemed like we just talked for an hour. I said, man, I got to go, man. I went out there on the mountain, and man, I was walking. I felt like Moses coming off of the mountain, man. I know my face must have been shining. I felt like I was walking 3 feet off the ground. The sun was coming up over Augusta Bay on the Mediterranean Sea like a big red tomato, man. I was looking at that, and man, I felt like, oh, the burden. I just felt like, oh, gosh, I felt so good. I went down there, and I didn't know nothing. I said, man, I'm going to be late. You can't be late in the service. I'm opting out this morning. I'm not coming. You can't. they frown on that real big. And I said, I got to be late. And in Italy, they have like the Italian tags are long, skinny, and black, and the American ones are like the ones we have, white and rectangle. AFI, Armed Forces in Italy plates. And I went out to the road. I got to hitchhike down. I got to get my clothes. I got to get to, there's two bases. I got to get to the one that I'm at, the firehouse is at. First car, I see an AFI plate coming, man. So I held up Nav 1. That's Naval Air Facility 1 or Naval Air Facility 2. I didn't care. Just get me to the intersection, you know. I got two fingers up, and it was my old first class petty officer that used to work with me, him and his wife. They pulled in, man. They said, get in, man. I said, man, I got to get my clothes. We'll wait. They took me to my house. I got my uniform on. I got in the car. They drove me down to the firehouse, 2 minutes to spare before I was late. Man, God was working, man. But what I'm saying is, there was, you know, I asked God to see his face. I forgot about it. And later I said, you know, God, you showed it to me. You showed it to me. But what it was a call. And man, I felt so different. But what happened was I didn't get in church. I wasn't in church. And I don't think I was really saved then. It was just God revealing himself. And what happened was I started falling back into my old grave. You know, I fell back in the grave. I started wearing the grave clothes, the stuff of the world, you know, that I shouldn't have done. I started doing that. And I'm going to tell you something, man, that it was like Moses feeling the glory of God fading off. He didn't want the people to see it. And I knew what was doing. And I was lost, but I said, I know. I could feel it going. I could feel it going. It only took about 3 days. I didn't feel that way. But I remember it. I never forget. But what it was God saying, listen, hey, come on out. Come on out. God calling, come forth. I'm almost done. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? I can hear now, like Lazarus, come forth. Well, wait a minute, Lord, I got to rest up a little bit because I got to go to work in the morning. I think I'll just lay in here a little bit longer. Huh? Wait a minute, Lord, I got to go to some game or something, or I just got other stuff to do. I got people drop by. No, he came out of there. Amen. See, but you know what? Lazarus knew he was in the grave. There wasn't no doubt about it. I don't know about you, but if I die and I end up in the grave and I hear the Lord calling me out of there, I'm coming out. Huh? I ain't walking out. I ain't got to worry about the grave clothes coming off. I'm tearing them things off. I'm coming out. He wasn't saying, no, what's holding you back? Everybody here, listen, this is just good news. Everybody here, you know you're holding back. You know that God could do more with your life than he's doing with it right now. You know that you could be a more of a prayer warrior than you are right now. You know that there's more of a filling of the Holy Spirit than you're experiencing right now. You know it, but for some reason you just won't let yourself go. What is it? What grave clothes? You got some grave clothes holding you back. What is it? Fun, excitement, entertainment? What is it? Is it the grave clothes of unforgiveness? The grave clothes of unlove? The grave clothes of bitterness? Is it the grave clothes of some other thing out there? Something that's wrapped you up? Because Jesus said, look, take them clothes off of him and let him go. Because he was bound up by them things. He just kind of come out of there, looked like a mummy, really. It wrapped him up like that. He come out of there, round up. He said, let them off. Take them off. It's what's binding you. It's what's binding you up. Come forth from that. Lazarus didn't make excuses. He come out. Why wear grave clothes if you're not going to lay in a grave, right? What in the world is holding you back? What's got you bound? What keeps you from being filled with? You ever ask yourself these questions. If you're not filled with the Spirit of God, what is it that keeps you from being spilled? Because I know God, filled, I know God's willing. What's keeping you from serving God? What keeps you from coming back to Sunday night services that we have at church when we're going to get ready for a revival? What keeps you from doing it? Really? God's saying, come forward. Come out of there. Come out. It was a loud voice. He said, come out. What keeps you away from the prayer meetings? When you know good and well your kids or your family members are lost and we're having a prayer meeting and we have a revival, what keeps you from coming to a prayer meeting? I know what it is. You don't really believe in the power of prayer. Don't tell me you do. Don't tell me you do. You pray without ceasing. Huh? That's it. What's got you? What's quenching the spirit? What occupies your mind and your heart? What's dangling the carrot in front of you that you can't never reach? Listen, here's the good news. Jesus is still calling. The scary part would be if he would have been out there, hey, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And then Lazarus didn't come. And then he's laying in there, and he didn't hear that voice anymore. That'd be a scary thing. And there ain't nothing scarier, listen, for a Christian than when you can't feel the Spirit of God in your life, no matter what. Oh, that's a scary thing. You can't feel, you've quenched the spirit so much, you can't hear God. You can't hear God talking to you. You can't feel God. Listen, what kind of a testimony is a church on Sunday night's got the lights turned off in this world we're living in? Huh? What kind of a testimony is that? What kind of a testimony is it for a Christian, a professing Christian, to have their car parked in their driveway on Sunday night when a church service is going on? What kind of a testimony is that to the world right there? God's saying, listen, come on, get them grave clothes off, whatever it is. Listen, God's calling us to come forth from death into life physically and death into life spiritually as well, man. And the fact that God is still calling today, I mean, that's the good news right there. Listen, Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm going to use that verse tonight, bless God. That's a testimony. So let the redeemed of the earth say so. Amen. Huh? We got something to say. We got something to shout about. Amen. What's holding you back in the grave? Take them off. Take them clothes off. Let's all stand. That's about it. Eyes closed. God spoke.